back in line with the police services and their route of dispatch as this relates to everything else. Those kind of people are the people that fall through the cracks. I'm one of them. I have 25 years of sobriety and never had a slip. So I just wanted to bring that up to your point. And I do support computers and police all the way. Those men in blue always do it every time. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Anyone else? If not, this moves to second. And we are on to item 93. Andrew is here with a report.
City Budget Office Work Plan.
Good morning. I'm Andrew Scott, City Budget Director. Does everyone have a copy of the report? I have some extras if need be.
Excellent.
What you have before you this morning is the City Budget Office Implementation Plan. As some of you, but maybe not all of you, will recall, back on December 12th of last year, Council passed an ordinance creating the City Budget Office and asked me to return in 45 days with an implementation plan that includes an organizational chart, staffing analysis, requested budget, and a timetable for implementation.
Andrew, why don't you hand out the report that you have? We have placeholders in our agenda books.
So the report in front of you contains all of those components, and I believe it creates a City Budget Office that is going to be able to meet council expectations going forward, both in this budget process and in the future. I'm going to go briefly through that today, but feel free to interrupt with questions, and I'll take questions also at the end if anything comes up. You'll see, we'll get to the organizational chart in a minute, but we sort of start off with a staffing analysis. The bulk of the work that will be done by the City Budget Office remains the same as the work that was previously done by the Financial Planning Division. That's budget and program analysis throughout the entire year, both during the budget process and our bumps, and also the economic forecasting function, as well as maintenance of a performance measurement system, and then, of course, special projects as they arise. In addition, Council added two new functions to the City Budget Office work plan. One of those is to do a business impact analysis of city ordinances that have an impact on businesses within the city. And the second is maintenance of an independent utility review function within the office. Council also directed, as part of that ordinance, the City Budget Office to, quote, serve all of Council by providing information and advice on budget and program issues. So one of the things that I've tried to do in the staffing model we've put forward is to meet both the current workload, which is, again, the bulk of it remains the same, also those two new functions, and as well as serving all of Council. I believe the staffing model that is put forward in this report will allow us to continue to do that. And at this point, you can see there's an organizational chart at the end of the report, and we both included the old Financial Planning Division org chart as well as the new City Budget Office organizational chart. I'm not going to go through the details unless people have questions about the specific changes within that. Again, I've laid out in the report what those changes are, and I'll get into a little bit more of that when we get into the budget section. But again, I think this new structure will allow us to meet all of those goals. The work plan then continues after the staffing analysis. We walk through a little bit of the major program functions that I've talked about. Again, budget and program analysis. Most of you are familiar with the work that the Central Budget Office does. The economic forecasting, again, there are not many changes in terms of, in fact, there are no changes in the way we currently do the economic forecasting, although a couple of the new areas the economist is going to be more involved in. In terms of the new areas that Council added, business impact was one. And this is one we're still exploring exactly how and what this means. But what we're proposing in the work plan is that as we do a review every week of the fiscal analysis of Council ordinances and we pass that out, to the extent any of those ordinances also have a business impact, in that fiscal impact analysis, we will include a little note and a little explanation of a business impact. Again, you know, this evaluation is likely to include descriptions of the types and sizes of the businesses that are impacted, a measure of the increased expenses for the businesses that might result from the ordinance, and a description of the local economic impacts, including comparisons with other jurisdictions.
Andrew, do you want us to hold our questions till you're done, or just jump in when you
hit
a topic?
That would be fine.
So I have a particular interest in helping us get this right on the business impact analysis. And here's my fear. I've expressed some concerns about something the auditor does every year where we get what's called a sustainability report that looks at our debt but doesn't have a corresponding analysis of what the debt secures. In other words, what's the public benefit that the debt? And it reminds me of, I mean, you could do a report of the street that I live in, Northeast Portland, and say you could do an analysis that concludes there's a lot of debt on the homes on that street. And if that was the end of your analysis, that might be alarming. But if you actually then acknowledge that everybody on that street had achieved the American dream of owning a home and building equity, you would have a different analysis. And I fear that what we might end up doing here is feeding one side of the ledger without looking at both sides. So, for example, every regulation we pass, that's like particularly in the planning area, for example, has a cost. There is some cost to compliance. But I'm told, for example, that one of the reasons Nike, from what I read in the paper, is looking at Portland as a potential future home is that they think we've got it right in terms of the investments we've made and the quality of life that we've achieved, and their employees want to be here. So I want to make sure that when we look at impact, we are assessing both sides of the ledger. Because often, whilst, and by the way, this is a foreshadowing of the debate we're probably going to have around paid sick leave or earned sick leave. I've been getting letters from people saying, how could you think of putting another mandate on businesses? I've also been getting letters from businesses saying, we think this will help us have a more motivated, more productive workforce, and it will positively affect our bottom line. So these are complicated discussions, and there's lots of moving pieces. But I would feel like this was not a particularly useful exercise if all we had was a one-sided assessment of what the potential impact is without looking at the benefit. So I think we have to carefully calibrate what's the frame we use to assess, as you call it, business impact.
I think those are really valuable points. And I think what I would I think the ideal way that this would occur is a cost-benefit analysis. It's not just a cost analysis. It actually includes the benefits as well. And I say that with a little bit of caveat given sort of limited resources. But, you know, when I worked at the Federal Office of Management and Budget, one of the things that Congress requires is that the Office of Management and Budget put out a cost-benefit analysis of every regulation that the federal government puts out. And as you know, they put out a lot. And OMB analysts go through and actually do a cost-benefit analysis of those. Now, there's significant more resources available to do that type of analysis. I think an ultimate goal for this, though, would be something similar to that. And again, you know, looking at sort of both sides of the ledger, obviously everything has a cost and everything has a benefit, and you can get into some very gray areas very quickly. But I think that is possible if the resources are there to do it. I think one of the interesting things about this ordinance is that one of the very first things we will need to look at is the paid sick leave. As you might have noted on this week's fiscal impact analysis, what we've said in that one, because this is a brand new function that we haven't performed before, and this is a very complicated ordinance on which to sort of dive in, what we've said is that we're going to work with the task force over the next month and to help sort of staff the task force and to help work with them on developing exactly what that impact analysis might look like. And it has to take both sides of the equation.
Well, I appreciate that. And I would just say that my first blush reading of business impact analysis in the plan is sort of heavy on the cost side and skinny on the benefit side, and I realize this is a difficult analysis, but I think as long as we're clear that we're looking to try to quantify both sides of the ledger, I think we'll be in the right, I personally believe we'll be heading in the right direction.
When Director Scott mentioned that he was going to do the first one on earned sick time, I expressed a sentiment that it might be better to wait till February, just because I think it's a very complicated issue, but they are willing to work with us over time. I think it'll be a great test case for looking at both the benefits and the surface costs. So I appreciate your willingness to dive right in.
Thank you.
Discussion, thanks.
The next section of the report, we talk about the utility rate review. Again, this is something that was included in the ordinance that the City Budget Office will staff an independent utility review function. As you all know, or who've been on council for a while, council's talked about this a couple of different times in different forums, and often those proposals to staff that or create an independent utility council or commission or function have involved some additional resources from the utility bureaus. This ordinance doesn't do that. So what I've put forward is within the existing resources we have, sort of a, what I would what I would characterize as a modest increase in our ability to review water and sewer functions. What I lay out is that we will, again, we'll continue our normal water and BES review in terms of having analysts assigned to those functions. In addition, we're going to create a utility review team within the office that the city economist is going to play a role in. Our city economist has a number of connections within the economics community, particularly the utility economics community. And I think having, it's a small team, but having those three people talk regularly and reach out to other experts in the field will help us in terms of enhancing our own ability to do analysis on water and BES rates. And then finally, we've included a very small amount, about $20,000 for external assistance if a small project comes up. It's not a huge amount, but to the extent a specific question came up that was either beyond the complexity of the folks that are in the city budget office or that we needed a little bit more bandwidth on, we might be able to contract out to do an external review on a specific issue. I do think this is something that, again, given where we are in the budget process, I would recommend moving forward with this for this current year. I think after we get through this budget process, it would be a good conversation for council to have about whether what we're doing in the city budget office is sufficient or whether you want to look at something that's even more robust, you know, potentially applying some additional resources to that. But I think this will get us through the current year, and I hopefully we're able to provide mostly complete information on as much breadth as you need in terms of city utilities. And then in addition, I also mentioned in here the special projects just give some examples of the types of special projects. Again, as we talk about serving all of council and all of council's information needs, we're already beginning to get more questions from commissioners' offices, which is fantastic. And we will do our best to respond to those very quickly. I think as those special projects ramp up, one of the reasons why, as you'll see when I talk about the budget a little bit, one of the reasons why I'm looking, to add a little bit more focus on the budget side is so that we can free up time of some of the senior analysts to respond to some of those questions. I think that is, again, one of the key missions that was laid out in that ordinance. So then transitioning into the budget, you can see we've included a table there. The city budget office, our budget at current service level would be just under $2.1 million. Of course, we're going to come in with a requested budget at 90%, as all city bureaus will, general fund bureaus will, and that's going to be about $1.97 million, so just under $2 million. And this does reflect the elimination, as you can see from the organizational chart, of a senior economist position, and that's also noted in the staffing analysis. This is a filled position, and as all of you know, as you're finalizing bureau budgets, these are very difficult decisions, particularly in offices of this size. It is an office of 12 that's predominantly personnel, and so at this level, and again, this is true throughout the city, and really it's true whether you're small or large bureaus, I think everyone's going through these difficult decisions. We'll have more time to talk about this, obviously, during the budget process, but that will be what we're coming forward with in the requested budget. I will note that the ongoing costs of the city budget office, as directed in the ordinance, they are budget neutral. We're receiving the same level of ongoing funding as Financial Planning Division received, with inflation built in to the current service level, plus an additional amount received from the Office of Management and Finance for Administrative Services, which is being reduced on OMF's side. That was a conversation we had over the last few weeks in terms of what the appropriate amount is. But it is that this budget does achieve budget neutrality, again, as directed. Finally, just sort of in summary, I think the implementation plan, we'll talk a little bit about timeline. Again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, I think it allows the City Budget Office to perform the functions that we currently perform, as well as the new functions that Council has assigned to the office. After this budget process, my plan is to engage in a longer strategic planning process, which will include the development of goals, it'll include the development of specific lists of the activities and performance metrics to gauge the success of the office. Obviously, we're in January, almost February right now, and requested budgets are coming in. So what we put together here, I think, again, gets us through the 13-14 budget process, meets those needs, but then it sets us up for a larger conversation after that process is complete. And we will be coming back to Council, as I mentioned, both to talk about that overall strategic plan as well as the rate review process specifically and whether Council would like to see something different there. And in summary, I just want to thank Council for giving me the opportunity to take another look at the structure and mission of the Budget Office through the creation of the City Budget Office. I think that, and I'm hopeful that these changes sort of proposed here are going to result in a better and more transparent process as we go through both this budget process and in the future. And I'm happy to answer any questions about this you might have.
Questions?
Some of my questions, Mayor, relate to the next item, which is the budget calendar. So perhaps we could take them up together.
Okay. You want to go ahead and address the budget calendar while you're here?
Yeah.
And we can take council action on both.
I'm happy to do that. Do we need to?
Unless there's any other testimony on this first one. I don't think there is.
I had a lot of people sign up for 93. I don't know if they're still here.
We had a bunch of people signed up for 93.
All right, 94. Adopt the budget calendar for fiscal year 2013-14.
Okay.
So the budget calendar, and joining me is Jeremy Patton, our budget coordinator. Council adopts a budget calendar every year, and this was recommended about 10 years ago in order to bring a little bit more order to the process, and I think it succeeded in doing that. It's a little bit later this year, just given the transition and some of the new things that we've added into it. Overall, there are not a large number of changes from the previous timelines, but I will walk you quickly through a couple of key things. You'll note that between February 11th and February 22nd, we have a series of work sessions with council. This is where bureaus are going to come and present their budgets, their requested budgets to council. This is obviously prior to the City Budget Office completing its review. And the intent here, and particularly given the restructured modified zero base, where bureaus are coming in at 90% with 10% add backs, and also the large, the 10% is a large number. This is an opportunity for council to talk to you about how they arrived at their budget cuts, the impact of those cuts, and allow council to ask questions of the bureaus, either about what they've put forward or potentially questions about what they might not have put forward and why. In addition, then, a few more lines down, you'll see between March 18th and April 5th, this is the second set of council work sessions. This is the more traditional set that you're used to. Financial planning will have provided our analysis by that point of the Bureau requested budgets, and that'll really be opportunity for us to talk through that analysis and then for bureaus to respond, and again, for council to ask questions. We're also building in a little time to follow up from the first set of work sessions. And then moving through the rest of the calendar is pretty much the same as previously. I will note April 25th, there is going to be a tax supervising and conservation commission hearing on the Portland Children's Levy. Again, since the Children's Levy is going out, the TSCC has to review that as they do for all levies. And we do this every time we go to the ballot. So there is that April 25th hearing, and then the normal TSCC hearing will occur on the budget in June. And then in addition, I would add, and I've begun these conversations, but I haven't gotten around to all council offices yet, so you will be hearing from me in the next couple of days. We are exploring whether between these sets of work sessions, there are additional opportunities for council input into the budget process. And the mayor has some ideas that he's asked me to share with your offices, so I'll be coming around to talk about those. But again, during that sort of 4 to 6 weeks between the budget hearings, ways to sort of, again, continue to get council input on specific topics related to the budget process. That's not on the calendar, but you will be hearing from me about it.
Are we required to vote on the budget today? I mean, on the calendar today?
No.
Because I'd like to hear more about what that other, that okay. was one of my questions.
And just keep in mind, the calendar is a guide. It does not need to include, nor does it usually include every item as we go through the year. And that's the reason why, because we haven't finalized that, we wanted to get sort of the overall calendar adopted prior to budgets being requested. There's nothing legally that requires us to do that, so it can wait. If we wanted to add
whatever you're more comfortable with. It's really to guide the public on what the architecture of the process is. But
since it's a resolution, if we could vote on it next week, that way, because that was one of my questions, is how does the council and the public have input in between the end of the work sessions and the proposed budget?
Andrew, I have a bunch of questions, if I could. First of all, where will this be posted online?
This goes on our community budget website.
Okay. And Hannah Kuhn probably knows more about this than I do, but I'm less clear about special appropriations and how those are supposed to be put in on Monday. And for example, Commissioner Saltzman and I have historically tagged team on a ask for teen programs. We understand this year special appropriations are going to be challenged. But could you just remind us again what the protocol is on special appropriations?
Sure. So the guidance that council sent out towards the end of last year, existing one-time funded programs can be requested again by bureaus for continuation. And that would be requested as part of the requested budgets that are coming in on Monday. So to the extent one-time funding exists for a program in a bureau, it can be requested, and it's not part of their 10%. It can be requested separately as part of that. To the extent there's a special appropriation request that doesn't belong in a bureau budget or that is not currently one-time funded, council did send out guidance that said no new ad packages for general fund funding should be submitted. Obviously, that's direction out to the bureaus. To the extent the mayor or council want to do something different than that, that's obviously a decision you all need to make. We can assist in the budget office with just entering those packages into the system. So again, if it's something that sort of is outside of a bureau that a commissioner's office wants to submit, you can get in contact with me or Jeremy, and we can make sure it gets onto the table essentially for conversation.
Right, and that's essentially on special appropriations. That's what we try to do, just get them on the table. So does that mean that you frown on having our offices submit special appropriations even if they technically relate to a bureau?
They can be submitted either way. Again, are you referring to sort of existing one-time funded requests? Yeah, I think to the extent it comes from a commissioner's office, it would be a decision package on special appropriations, just like if it came from a bureau. Yeah.
Okay. You've scheduled from February 11th to the 22nd requested budgets to City Council. Do we have an up-to-date calendar of the sequence for that?
We are finalizing that calendar hopefully today. So we have sent it out to bureaus. We've asked for feedback in terms of whether there are any conflicts, and hopefully we finalize it.
On the category of March 18th to April 5, I'm reminded that there's something called spring break that falls in that section.
Yeah.
And I seem to recall we're sort of skinny during that week of budget stuff. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have actually not scheduled any hearings during that week. So that's the reason why that's a three-week period of time. We have budget hearings in the first week of March 18th and then in the second the week after spring break.
Well, I appreciate that for two reasons. One is that some of us have kids that are affected by spring break, but most importantly, the people in the public are affected during that week. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure they can stay engaged.
Yeah.
On April 30th, it says the revised general fund financial forecast is released. And that's the revision to what is currently before us in terms of general fund forecast?
That's right. So in the spring, we do an update, and that's actually it is that April forecast that is what council needs to balance to in the budget. What we provide you in December is the estimate of where we think we're going to be. Josh Harwood, our city economist, is working hard between now and then to update as many new figures as we get. We're going to get inflation numbers in just about 3 weeks the time. Obviously, property tax numbers continue to come in, and then business license on April 15th is one of the biggest numbers we get all year because it's such a volatile resource.
I'm not clear about one thing here. It says mayor releases proposed budget decision on May 1st. If that happens, I think you'll get an award for timeliness. My recollection is that date historically has moved a bit. But then it says proposed budget documents available on May 14th. What's the difference?
It takes us some time to take the decisions and actually in the system just ensure that everything is input and balanced correctly and then go to print. Obviously, as you've seen, the budget documents are large. We try and keep them as small as we can, but they're very large documents. And so that's really a production time. All the decisions are made by May 1st. We sort of put that in here as a guideline, in terms of through the rest of the process, and then it takes us about 2 weeks to produce the actual document.
Well, let me just clarify what you just said. Excuse me, Commissioner Fish, but the decisions are made, the proposal, the mayor's choices are made.
That's what I meant.
What's
yes.
in the proposed budget?
Right.
Yes, and so we can, in that two-week time, we can tell you all the decisions that the mayor has made in terms of his proposed budget. We just can't give you a booklet for about 2 weeks' time. It purely is a production timing issue.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. And then finally, I just want to preview for my colleagues a concern I have. There's an open question with a new mayor and a fresh look at the Portland Development Commission about what is its mission going to be and what will be its priorities. Mm-hmm. And I know Mayor Hales is going to take the time to do his own review and make recommendations on that. But it seems to me that it creates an interesting challenge for us because this is a budget year where through this modified zero-based budgeting, we're going to be putting some cuts out there that are pretty significant. And a question that either we or the public are going to have is, to what extent is PDC making investments in infrastructure costs and things which either sort of offset some of the cuts or complement? And we've had an ongoing discussion over the last few years about whether PDC is an economic development agency or whether it is in the business of doing parks and transportation infrastructure, and if so, what? So I want to flag that because it's probably going to feel like we're designing the plane at 30,000 feet, traveling 400 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. But my guess is that this open question about where PDC puts its resources and some priorities is going to dovetail with some of these budget questions we have. And I'm pleased that we'll be beginning that conversation with PDC early in February. I would hope that it's one of the earliest presentations we have, because that's a big question we're going to have to grapple with the council and with the new mayor.
Yeah, I hear you. I guess my sense is, Commissioner Frisch, that we're not going to resolve the long-term strategic questions about scope and scale for both the economic development side and the traditional redevelopment side of PDC during the course of this budget. But PDC is under instructions to come in with a 90% budget for the general fund side of the Bureau. And I take your point that what is proposed to be done on the tax increment side of the budget could either synergize or perhaps in some cases alleviate decisions that we might be forced to make otherwise in the rest of the budget. So,
right. And Mayor, we'll also hear from a lot of people that are concerned if small grants programs are eliminated or reduced, or if infrastructure programs are deferred or delayed or cut. So yeah. it becomes part of the conversation with the public, and doesn't make our job any easier.
Yeah. Well, and we'll try to get that one up early for that reason. I think it's a good suggestion. Thank you. Other questions, comments?
So I do have a concern that we have the work sessions from the March 18th to April 5th, where we hear the individual bureaus' reports. I don't see anything between April 5th and May 1st in terms of the council mm-hmm. getting together as a board of directors, in which you've yeah. referred to, Mayor, to have a balancing discussion yeah. about of everything that we've heard. Which directions do we suggest that the mayor go in preparing his proposed budget? I also don't see any public hearing until one day after the documents are available for the utility rate review, and 2 days after for the budget. So
information helps.
Yeah, that's an excellent point on that. We have we're working right now with the mayor's office on exactly what the public input process will be as we go through the spring. And so we took off the budget forums that we have done in the past, not because we won't necessarily do them. We're sort of talking about the best way to do that outreach. We just haven't finalized that plan, so we didn't want to have specific dates on here. There certainly is discussion, though, about having a robust public input plan prior to the legally required hearing. And again, I want to stress on the calendar, it is not intended to be all-inclusive of every budget item. It's more of an overall strategic guide in terms of the timelines.
Yeah, particularly work sessions. I believe we have a number of work session slots saved in our mutual calendars mm-hmm. that don't necessarily show up on this summary list at this point.
I just want to make sure that we don't do what we have previously done, and that's get a lot of different presentations, but then not have any kind of, with the budget, the Citizen Budget Committee, what have we heard and what are we going to do about it. I also will feel much more comfortable voting for this calendar next week if by next week we can define what our public input process is, because telling folks that they can't show up until almost the end is going to condemn us all to receiving gazillions of emails.
Yeah,
and I
no,
think
fair
that
point.
There's nothing that can substitute for actually having evening meetings in the community or weekend meetings where people can show up and speak their heart.
Yeah, so if we are going to take an extra week, and I'm happy about that, then both will have the chance for Andrew to complete these conversations with each of you and to further flesh out and explicate some of these details in the calendar for our sake as well as for everybody else, particularly on the point you just made, Commissioner Fritz. It's very much my intention to have the council deliberate together after hearing those budget presentations rather than having Andrew and his staff or any other combination of people simply disappearing into a room with me for a month.
So that's the intent, but we'll make that intent more clear in the document.
Right, and I appreciate that, Mayor. There has been a lot of dialogue back and forth one-on-one in compliance with public meeting laws. I know that you intend to have like a work session on what did we hear and what are we going to do about it, and I would find that very helpful.
Good.
Yeah.
Other guidance, other suggestions for Andrew and the team? If not, thank you both very much. Any other public testimony? You said you were a whole bunch of people signed up. I suspect they are no longer here.
I think so. Thank you.
And Mayor, if I might comment, because we won't be voting on the budget calendar, and they were signed up for that. I believe that there's concern about this year's budget implementation, so I think that they were probably here to talk about that, and we can have some more conversations, you and I, about that.
Okay. So we will take action on item 93 to adopt the report.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? Roll call, please.
Fritz. Well, thank you to Director Andrew Scott. When we set the report back at 45 days, I thought that was extremely ambitious, and you have done even better than I was expecting. So I appreciate the diligent work that you and your team, having thought it, the concept of the city budget through for a long time before we actually were able to implement it. Also, thanks to OMF Director Jack Graham for his assistance in making the transition smooth. I do encourage the Bureau of Human Resources to finalize the positions and the classifications for all of the positions in the new budget office. I think that that's going to help them moving forward and help all of us. And I do appreciate the arrangement between the Office of Management and Finance and the City Budget Office, keeping this budget neutral as was directed. So thank you for good work. Aye.
Fish.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew, for the plan, which I think is very thoughtful, and your willingness to continue to refine the economic impact piece, which I think is important. And the calendar is, once again, a very ambitious calendar. Looks like we have a lot of meetings, and this is going to be a very tough budget year, but I think we're all up to the task. Thank you. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thanks, Andrew and Jeremy. Aye.
Novick.
Thank you, Andrew and Jeremy, and I'd also like to thank Commissioner Fritz for her work in establishing this newly independent office. Aye.
Hales.
Good work in a hurry. Thank you. Aye. Okay, and then we will set over item 94 until next week's calendar. Okay, we have a few more items left. Item number 95, emergency ordinance.
Authorize the Bureau of Environmental Services to accept a conservation easement from TriMet as part of the Crystal Springs Railroad Culvert Replacement and Restoration Project.
Mr. Saltzman, anything?
I'll just add, this is a great partnership between TriMet, Union Pacific, and the city to replace culverts that connect Crystal Springs to the river in a fish-friendly manner. And this easement, it comes at no cost to us from TriMet to allow us to access and revegetate the site.
Any other questions, comments, testimony? Roll call, please.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Item 96.
Pay award ordered by the Employment Relations Board in Portland Firefighters Association versus City of Portland, UP01310, on December 10, 2012, pending review by the Oregon Court of Appeals.
I think we had a comprehensive discussion of this by the city attorney last week. Again, this is an order from ERB, and as the city attorney explained, if we win the appeal in the Court of Appeals, we'll have a right to pursue getting the money back, but we're not. Mr. Van Dyke explained that we're not going to be able to get a stay of the order to pay the money because that's just not something courts normally do. So it's a matter of simply complying with the order.
Other comments, questions, concerns?
Well, we had a very, very good and comprehensive discussion as well last week. So.
Anyone wish to testify on this item? Then let's move to roll call.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I appreciate the fire union and the job that its members do to keep us safe. It's really unfortunate that Tom Hurley is being used as a test case to challenge voter-approved reforms. This legal wrangling on behalf of Mr. Hurley doesn't serve our hardworking firefighters or our city taxpayers well. Instead, it allows someone to game the system who hasn't fought a fire in nearly 20 years and to walk away with a $5,500 a month pension. And if we prevail in the Court of Appeals, I'm quite convinced we'll never see any of that money that's owed us back. So I cannot in good conscience support another undeserved payout to Tom Hurley, and I vote no.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, item 97.
Update council procedures regarding publication of the council agenda.
Second reading item that also had discussion last week. Any further discussion? Anyone here to testify? Roll call, please.
Fritz.
I appreciate the diligent work that the council clerk and the office of the auditor do in regards to compiling the council agenda. I remember in the olden days when I was following it from home, and it didn't have all of the items, the reports linked, and that takes time to do. I'm disappointed that on this perhaps most fundamental citizen involvement tool that there wasn't any public engagement into looking at what other ways can we let citizens know what is happening with their city council and what the agendas are. So I hope that that can happen, even though this code section is being amended to say that it will be only online availability of the agenda up until Wednesday mornings, which, as we know, excludes a significant portion of our population. No.
Fish.
Well, having served now for a little over 4 years, we have a deep appreciation of the hard work and professionalism of our clerks and the staff who so ably serve us, and we can always find ways to improve our work and the transparency of our work and our public outreach, but I don't want this moment to go by without expressing my thanks to Carla and her team for their terrific service to this council. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Carla, I'd also like to thank you and your team and to say that I agree with Commissioner Fritz that we should work expeditiously to find other ways to let the public know what our agenda is. And this is simply a matter of addressing a situation where if we don't make this amendment, then we're going to be out of compliance with our own rules. So with that understanding, I vote aye.
Hales.
I do consider this an interim solution until we figure out that changing landscape of how people are getting information and how they're not getting it anymore. But for now, this is a good solution for the moment. Aye. And we are recessed until tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m.
Okay. I've got a couple of errands to run, including picking up my